Thank you, Elise and Steve, for organizing this series. Thank you, Kenyatta, for being here with me. It's been a while, and I'm very excited for that book to come out in the world. I'm going to read a lot of new work. And this thing, I've been doing this thing lately where I read something that's very new. And so here's a poem that I actually wrote or started writing on the plane yesterday. And it's called Progress, and it's for a friend who I went to college with and who I've been thinking a lot about lately. Progress. Do you remember the feeling of thinking we'd done something that would make so much more of the world that we once wanted so badly to adore us? In sleeplessness of a devil's hour, a habit built in that aftermath, I let the heat water my flesh for a quick fix, thinking of everything we were taught to call right, then try not to hold the well-restedness of my love against him, laughing in his sleep beside me, I wondering about the joke. At every turn, do you ask yourself, what is it that we have earned, really? Is it the lesson that every right so barely ours could be revoked? But we still have the body. Still, in trying to make a different right, we learn the sleeplessness in the place of hard lessons, and still, it prepares us for the hardest yet to come. Still, do you struggle to shake that obligation of someone else's dream? Those who raise me tear a little with a memory of offering as we walk it side by side, trying to get back to the vision of all following course. Do you remember how much we fucked up? Sometimes right deserves it, but trouble was that we got other people to do the job, not for but to us, eating our luxury to make it theirs, to climb the ladder upon our backs, not knowing how we could be pushed off the roof, and still, how far would we fall really? Learning to have been pleasured by the moral of a story was not the same as to have been wanted. No wonder we kept hungry for some way to abandon what they took, what had made them singular. What we had wanted was to be an extremity, and now I know a little more about the opacity of others, having learnt to make my own, knowing this is different but none greater. In my misguided fantasy, what I want is to fuck it up good all over again. This time, I want to be the one to call the shots. Doesn't know that I wrote that for her yet, but she will soon. A safety that is not safe. In coveting residue for invention, a gap begins to pool in the boundary. All I want in my resentment is a just generosity of time. Gift it to me, slow now, a condition of unfolding, voracious, endless invention, like an arm that brushes up on a rib cage in the fringe to mark its wanting. Gift me some house far from cruelty, an unconditional structure unfolding to the sky until we see who we give, just as a limb presses in on a rib cage. And so, in mending its brick, it is yours. Look how far from brute wilderness, having invented inside your exterior and having learnt who you give up. Hedging such a private possession, you say you have willed sanctuary into being. All on the outside willed to wonder, all the wonder you hold. And there in your deep time unrests a difference from what I have wanted, drier than a desert, no reserve for the palm, no sand. So this is called Monarchs. We eat the dust, for dust is life, no reserve, what will be left? Scarcity is a fruition, as money, a wounding fiction, not time that is precious, like money. A barrier to cut through the sanctuary of what we will lose, a fiction of impediment. We have to believe they will find a way, us too to find a way. We eat the dust, we eat ourselves, hold ourselves in. It will be all we have, life will move, the barrier will erode. All you hold inside will starve itself. Move the barrier, life will erode, dust of ourselves to eat it. So those two poems I really wrote in reflection to thinking a lot about the what's happening on the US-Mexico border. And it's there's so many things that are so bound up in that. It's about the movement of people and it's about the movement of life. And I mean, I want, you know, the more I think about it, the more this fiction of that boundary, right, can't stay forever. And, you know, I was thinking a lot about the butterflies, the monarch butterflies, and the kind of the impediment that that barrier also serves, and how that's also bound up in trying to stop human movement. And anyway, I'm trying to still make sense of it, but that's where those two came from. So this is something different. It's called Look at What You've Done. I love my child, but I will always love my father more. I love my child, and this is why I learned to keep her good face clean. As you clean your face, remember to move your hand toward your heart. To put your hand upon the heart is an act of love. To raise one hand in public is to give oneself to country. To raise two hands in public is to make a threat. To kneel in public at times is to evoke a failure. If one does not know when to kneel, then something has been broken. To fall upon both knees is to provoke a greater power. A greater power is to invoke the name of God, and only that. We write God upon our money, and therefore our money is loved. Our money brokers love, and so should we too be so tender. It is not money that is the root of all evil, but only to love it. If I wish to spend my money, then it is not money I have loved so much. I purchase a dress of the beloved color, and now you see I am the image of goodness. I purchase a shroud of the beloved color, and now you see I make another holy. The color that is of purity is another's passage and another's passing. The tender world bears more than what our human eye can gather. You must always look in all directions as you cross the street. Now see, I would give both my hands to have her back again. Devotional. Having been grazed this evening at the shoulder by fatality, how to explain tonight what has come after in this traffic? Look at it, the light, how it anoints the ridge of a brow on their way down Magnolia, and how that touch renders sweat out from concrete and car debris, how it renders shimmer. Blessings for those over-the-shoulder guardians and their hand-me-downs, the reflexes I didn't know would keep me alive. I see you and bless you. You talking over your breath, talk to yourself, talk to me, then to yourself again. So much vulnerability in the material beneath our feet. It brings us together, you, me, and the money machine in a lot for no one to wait in. You, me, and no one on the train, all the news we never asked for. All of us waiting for the little white jitney to take us something to eat, something like home. So many who wait pass, scrape a hand across the steel wire fence, the dozens of padlocks banished by the courthouse across the street and left behind, their bondage in one eye a weapon, in another something everlasting. Bless your love and lock it not on the Brooklyn Bridge, but here, where down the block the Borinquen super talks to his dog, tells the secret listener he has finally found his freedom, and that no thing is more beautiful than truth. No, no thing. God, oh God, yes, my life. Bless it. That was after I almost got hit by a car on the way home. Study guide toward naturalization of the mouth from an inherited notebook. This is a poem. I'll tell you after. Actually. One, how many teeth does a snail have? Tens of thousands upon the tongue. Thousands, those who fell loose from within my home. A flesh so soft, so full of bite. I, molar, exception, you, the fangs. Two, how many words does English have? Tens of thousands and tens of thousands obsolete, exception for you I earned a credential in what was said to break in the mouth. 3. Who are the candidates for president of the USA? Contra, crisis, turning point, Noftea Act. On the contrary, cada paso que das, civil, the alien must establish goodness and good faith, in case you wonder, admissible, marid, marriage, exception. I feel like I'm in the mud to doings thing, an anniversary, flow, fire, 4th of July. 4. What happened at the, how do you mean? All those days for mastery, and yet money is exception, invisible and power, to make a living. For your teeth, I ghost wrote a letter so that they would understand. Every one fallen meant new ones that I would someday give to you. Flow, ship, restoration, what should I do if I want to continue? The future, what we take as return, precious common porcelain. 5. What color of the earth from out of it? Home is the faint brown of a martyr's soil. Bend your head before it. Salat, salt. It is possible that it is both. Alien, citizen snail. In general, if it is holy, then one must bend before its purity. Like our flesh, so soft, so full, so much for repair. So the language from that poem is, a lot of it is culled from a notebook that my father kept from the time that he emigrated here in 77 to the time that he was preparing for his citizenship exam in 2000. A lot of it is also culled from official documents from the Immigration Naturalization Act. And so I was really interested in trying to think with these two together and to think about the struggle of the mastery for a language that you have to perform for someone else to prove your presence is worthy. And that is with permission from my father, and I'm glad that he let me write that. This is from Studies in the Shape of Time. This is a slightly longer piece in 3 parts. 1. Nocturne. Tarantulas after Rilke. And one more time, the desert twilight swallows westward on the coffee bean patio, where elders smoke beside stainless steel chimneys. Deep into their nightly backgammon, they gossip, gather and strategize, their animal companions sleeping beside the feet of students and others, all like family, nowhere to be but here. Then one player, having seen something sharply rises, goes inside and returns with hot coffee, an offering to a woman who holds her head in her hands. From glancing traffic beyond the enclosure, she shifts her gaze. He speaks. She takes the cup, listens carefully. Restless now, he turns to a flame, ignites a cigarette, looks and bursts for all his kin in this court. Like a star blisters his axiom, all elliptic. Whatever you do in your life, you must find a way to enjoy your life. Propane, like an archaic torso, throws light upon the straw skin of his gaze for a moment. His deep-set, fruitful, burgeoning eyes all dazzles as a trail of ash falls from the quiver between his fingers. They want to say, here, there is no place that does not see you. Dusk like ash continues, consecrates all the contours of the boulevard. A location watches, dissolves towards its very own self. Translucent in how we cannot know, into the slope of his shoulders, how the man swills his mouth with his language, falls away, adjusts his gleam toward the game, each time returning his source to a leather satchel. How it is time-worn, how creased for this display, and how again and again for a speculative kingdom. So what now? You sit between the fire and fence, and between the fence and the boulevard, two people are walking side by side. And one begins to sing, to offer a softness not for the companion but for air, for anyone who will feel it. a gentle rhythm of syllables, a familiar language, but not a vocabulary. Just before the song, you hear your name from that direction, summoning a home away from home, a geometrist of surfaces, re-enchanting the shape of the world, and you wonder if you are right to ask who you are. This is the universe of all possible tables, how one surface touches another surface, bending its imminence to follow the imprint of a context. 3. And what now? In days spent poring over records for signs of awe, an itinerant history of the West beats into regulation the legibility of feeling. Bewildered by the bruise of a record and everything yours that is not yours. There is a collared pigeon on the street where you stay and a house among unspoken subjects. The bird mistakes an orange glow of sodium vapor for the sun. At midnight, every night, it sings, ta-ta, ta, ta-ta, ta, ta-ta, ta, ta-ta. Listen, how it tricks us, the passing time toward thinking that it has become an absolute place. Just seeing how we're doing on time. I'll read this piece. This is a longer prose piece. It's an anthology by the Precipice Collective that just came out. And this version is a little different than what's in that collection. It's a really interesting project. It has a lot of writing prompts in it and might be an interesting thing to pick up. But this is called Postcard from a Place That No Longer Exists. There's an outline here cut in your shape, awash in what is wanting to hold you in, keeping you from sudden disappearance. A bird glides behind the tallest building in the city, distracting my sightline, initially beckoned by a clear steel sky. I enter the terminal for the first time, struck by the incommunicable strangeness of my witness. Difficult things have happened that I have only known from a distance, in a language different from that of my memory, before I could understand the rippling of its grammar. A reflection in the dark, undoubtedly recognizable with an exactness of motion inextricable from the surface. Was it your language, or were you just also in its proximity, your silhouette swallowed by its gestures? I don't want to be made from stuff anymore. The task, though quiet, is insurmountable. You are taken away. You don't live here, but you are everywhere. Though what I want to say seems to be everywhere, I still don't know how to speak. Wherever I go, I recognize the shape of phrases, their order, but remain unable to repeat their sounds. I follow the motions of syntax. Even my breath emulates the shape of the phrases, but I remain unable to speak. When I open my mouth, nothing is audible, even when an urgency flows, pushes through the lungs as I enter the terminal. The bird flies deeper into the city. A pigeon appears the size of an albatross. You don't live here anymore, though we do not know where you have gone. Still, we sense your outline like a phantom, the air expelling itself in your direction. I do not know how to explain it. Entering the terminal, the skeletal ivory-colored curvature feels like the interior of a living body, holding the train cars, the many cells of wayfaring, all moving in different currents past one another. When the empty cars open, we flood them with such density that we are all touching, exiting the bony interior through the water, into what is left of the day, closer to home, we all quietly breathe out and continue to shift our eyes between the tracks. The sky and the muted news screens. By the time we arrive, we have seen all the stories twice. There was a crime and there was a victory. There was a royal wedding, an incognito advertisement. There were all our horoscopes and a daily word for unscrambling. The letters, the first time around, I wanted to make them make something different than what they are. And so I do not guess that the word is vapor. The second time around, I try to detangle what has already been defined, but cannot come to any other logical conclusions. This intensity is something I love so much that it throbs in my temple. I thought I saw you in someone sitting next to me who also could have been my sister. She leans her shoulders against the door with her eyes closed despite the prescription behind her. Exiting the car upon our arrival, she steps on my exposed foot, provoking a brief sharp pain. To my surprise, I respond softly, a reflexive utterance In swift response, she apologizes. Instead of accepting the apology, I repeat it, and am confused by my expression. Walking home, I realize that I had wanted to assuage the repetition, to make room for a co-presence. Addressing you before a demolished lot, I watch things move in its many layers, and I relish in this interval, taking pause to escape from something quicker. I try to decipher something on a cluster of old buildings soon to be disappeared. The language stares back boldly, refusing to be translated, knowing that someday, very soon, no one will look at it again. This is not my conversation. Still, I feel for it, tracing its vibrant lines. In the four, a woman walks by holding a small child by the hand. Passing me by, I hear her say, "Before you were born, this was anomalous, unaccountable." I do not know what I mean, except that wherever I go, I will always be strange. And so in this way, maybe I am you. I have learned to change shape to make myself likable to those who I am unlike. I do this until it becomes unbearable. I learned to do this less than I used to. I'm not as sad as I used to be. Now I try to use this power as a way of making sense of itself. I find myself a little closer each day to cracking something, like a virus I have no description for. There is a way in which what we call goodness seems able to live alongside the virus, manipulated by its periphery. Sometimes I ask inside myself, how can you bear all this misplaced beauty, this strangely built version of grace? Everything is on fire. Everything is calm. On this plane, I am in every way speechless. Again, because everything changes, I am always without what I wish I had. A music that I only remember the sensation of, having heard it in sleep, but not able to locate its stuff. I wonder what has changed. I am watching people enter the buildings soon to be disappeared, how they look in for a moment, emerging with some noise that comes out as laughter, though. What is it? Unsettled by the sound, I ask myself all the time. Once years ago, from a bus heading toward the island prison near my home, I saw a girl, small, maybe like us once, jumping in rounds, high spirits, shouting something muted by the windows. Something about her radiation triggered the part of my body in which heavy and light resides so closely. Where are you? Across the country, water has filled a place that is my closest home, the city full of my loved ones. Today, they praise heaven that for now they still have their houses. Here, the skies have been nothing but blue, and something feels missing. Intermittently, sequences of planes move over our lots, their solitude so magnified by the sky, they could almost change the course of everything. The buildings have changed color. The sound is coming, too. And now, watching all its material in motion, I take in this place that you are not in, holding to it fast and still, letting the body slip away. So, slipping away. So, I'll read a few more. I've got a good handful more. These are shorter pieces and fairly recent. On Outer Island. Like a thought, sound travels within sound faster than in air. On each thimble of the archipelago, a flag waves taller than every tree, and the necessary pleasure of boats obliges everyone to love their neighbor. On Outer Island, they make refuge for an ensemble of sunbathers, in confidence sharing with one another theories for the operation of resonance. They count to three, then howl in unison into the ocean, the sound grazing feathers of gulls who twitch from the safety of rocks. It comes back around, and the waves, the sound, like thought, move the ocean over your feet. Like the woman from your mother's country, who only yesterday poured a river upon them covered in salt, painted your nails the color of sand as you let the breath linger in your throat. The future will hold fewer days like this. But that first time, it always comes back when it falls again. Cool and precipitous in its generosity, this weather is always a reminder of how we want to be where we cannot. Beautiful, we labor to say, in an inhale as we skim the corridor, never sensing the hand encroaching overhead to name a thing not to be named. But every name in what it unfolds becomes a foreclosure. every decrease tailored from a document not yet written, an accordion file full of creases, each pocket an instruction for a fortune teller or a peace crane or a difficult thing, a hibiscus flower synonymous with fresh water or an island where there is no snow. You do not always know what you enter, but let us suspend abstraction. I have so many questions. There was a picture hung upon a door, a postcard from a place you'd gone, now gone, ripped from what was never imagined for you on a day never imagined in your memory. Celebrate then on its gutted lining in your unaccompaniment, and watch from the window that tenderness, absent of pigment, to fall softly, a kiss for everyone it meets. The History of Orphans. The history of orphans notches into us like this. I show the inheritance in my hand, say, look, here is the child. The kinpoint bears the canyon, and in the canyon is the jungle. Within jungle bearing machete, hip side, here the child bearing kinpoint upon index. Charting northward to make a lapse where someone will want to explain. North, a door opens toward the whole of the capacious. No word but a blade to shudder at blade. Halfway across the radius, one more descends toward the ocean, bowing into blow as in prayer. Records make themselves known by what is raised. Interior of my interior, that which gave us name for impossible devotion, to be of peace, cut the blade, will blade to fall. Deep in the pigment of the clearing we carry, everyone we will never know, in rearrangement to grow evergreen. Here, the children, I now, the mother. I will read two more. More tender crevices. Too old to be throwing hooks, still I try to stay protected. One in a room of women, shades of brown in a row, straddling synthetic chests, beating the shit out of rubber bodies in a storefront gym when the trainer growls and says, get angry. It's a fantasy on the block where something could turn any corner, any minute. Chest synthetic like patch of grass, the patch of grass I look at after class in the bathroom corner and think, sometimes the storyline of something better for all of us falls apart. All those tender crevices in a calloused world. What if we were to defy what built us, make one new, big new body together? All of us ghosts in a future where we float in an earth overtaken by supermoss, growing in the groove, more loving, more communist than any human life alone could be. Our collective specter, our ectoplasm to nestle in the softness, to make something new, to defy the boundary to begin with. Come into the crevice, disorient the line from all sides, tender away the hierarchy of any cardinal direction. Would it take anything more than an afterlife? And this last poem is called an Attentiveness to Those Things Mute Within Us. And it's after a line from the great queer theorist, José Esteban Muñoz, who we lost some years ago. But he's a really, I mean, he's wrote so many incredible essays. And this one was called Feeling Brown, Feeling Down. And what's really amazing about that piece is, you know, he talks about brownness in a way while marking his indebtedness to a Black feminist scholarship in that piece. I love that piece. I recommend it. So, an attentiveness to those things mute within us. I took the feeling and laid low, rolled with it in dirt, dust of invention, dust for sweeping up inside, hollow, the empty scattering of a vision. My emptiness had an ending. It was the end of an hour. I took the feeling, rolled not with bark but ash, combustible glow, seeing ourselves, seen in every grade, grain, shade in that shining sea, inescapable, how inescapable the body at all. I took the feeling of a mountain broken open, majestic, falling onto husks we had cast out in our down below settlement, for now we were full. Who am I kidding? There's no revolving door for the flagless or even those of us with names. I take the finished time in my vacancy, fade and dissolve in earth, shore to shore. We, always loving the damned moon, the damned water, our only constants. and you, faint one of the tragic ballads, consumed by repetition, your changing same, tell me how everything will be okay. Flowering in ash is forever. I take what you say as unalienable. Force your hands, clean hands, deep into our silt. Put them where they say it is dirty. I take, and you want to know where to keep your eyes, if not the ground. 5 times a day, I travel this ritual. Is that what devotion is? To take ourselves outside and surpass the breaking ground? In my home, I take myself from a blow, grow ordinary flowers for you, and part of me to be beside, here. Breathe particle, take what stays. Inside I keep our picture, yourself young, things you always wear, your hair and face perennial, like the finest painting, careful to be blown away. Thank you.